Broome Street Station House was quiet, a silence so deep it felt like a physical weight pressing against Pearl's eardrums. It was just past midnight. The gas lamps hissed in their corners, casting long, wavering shadows that made the empty desks look like crouching animals. Pearl sat on the edge of the wooden bench behind the sergeant's desk, her leg extended, the twisted ankle throbbing in time with her pulse. She kept her hands visible on her knees. She kept her breathing slow. Doyle was gone. He had left 10 minutes ago to fetch a doctor, muttering something about a pharmacy on the corner that stayed open late, his voice rough with a worry he refused to name. He had looked at her temple, at the smear of blood on her coat, and then at the empty alleyway beyond the open door. He had seen the man in the gray coat running east. He had heard the shot. But he hadn't seen the man's face. And that was the only thing that mattered. Pearl touched the wound. The skin was hot, sticky. The bone beneath was intact, she hoped, a graze, nothing more. She could feel the cold draft from the street mixing with the stale tobacco smell that permeated the room. It was a good smell, in a way. It smelled like safety, like bureaucracy, like a place where things were filed away and forgotten. She needed to be forgotten. The door opened. Pearl didn't jump. She had spent the last 3 minutes counting the cracks in the ceiling plaster, waiting for the footsteps. They were heavy, deliberate, and accompanied by the faint jingle of keys on a belt, not Doyle's shuffle. This was a march. Captain Holloway filled the doorway. He was a large man, built like a barrel with a uniform jacket strained across the shoulders. His face was red, not from exertion, but from a permanent state of indignation. He smelled of peppermint and old sweat. He held a lantern in one hand, the flame trembling slightly in the draft, and he used it to illuminate Pearl like she was a specimen in a jar. "Sergeant Doyle left you here?" Doyle asked. His voice was a low rumble, the kind that vibrated in the chest. "Yes, sir," Pearl said. Her throat was dry, she cleared it. "He went for a doctor." Holloway stepped inside and closed the door behind him. The latch clicked with finality. He set the lantern on Doyle's desk, the light flaring up to reveal the scattered papers, the half-empty inkwell, and the key Pearl had left there days ago. Holloway's eyes lingered on the key for a fraction of a second too long before snapping back to Pearl. "He didn't mention a gunshot," Holloway said. Pearl kept her face neutral. "He was distracted, sir. There was a man in a gray coat. He ran, I pursued, he fired." "A man in a gray coat," Holloway repeated. "He didn't write it down. He didn't ask for a description. He just stood there, his hands clasped behind his back, looking at her with an expression that was neither angry nor relieved, but calculating." "And you chased him into the alley behind Mott Street?"
"Yes, sir."
"And you fired your weapon?"
"Yes, sir, one round, I missed, or I grazed him, I don't know which. He got away."
Holloway nodded slowly. He walked around the desk, his boots clicking on the hardwood. He stopped in front of her, close enough that she could see the pores on his nose, the gray stubble on his chin. He looked down at her leg, then up to her face.
"You're hurt, Miss Casey."
"It's nothing, sir, a scratch."
"A scratch doesn't bleed through your hair."
Holloway reached out. Pearl stiffened, her hand drifting toward her coat pocket, toward the revolver she had retrieved from the evidence box before Doyle returned. But Holloway didn't grab her. He merely brushed a stray lock of hair from her forehead, his fingers warm and dry. It was a gesture so intimate, so patronizing, that Pearl felt her stomach turn.
"You're lucky.
That alley is full of broken glass and worse.
If that man had aimed true, you'd be in the morgue next to Erickson."
"He was after the blueprint, sir," Pearl said, her voice steady despite the tremor in her hands. "He wanted the documents, I have them." Holloway's eyes flicked to the canvas tube resting against Pearl's side.
"The documents, yes."
He straightened up, adjusting his cuffs. "Doyle thinks you're a hero, he thinks you saved the evidence."
"I did, sir."
"Doyle is a sentimental fool," Holloway said. The words were soft, but they carried the weight of a dismissal. "He forgets that sentiment doesn't keep order. Sentiment doesn't stop riots. Sentiment doesn't keep the elevated railways running for the good of the city." He leaned in closer. "There are people who care about that city, Miss Casey, people who invest in it, people who understand that a few broken bones, a few frightened workers, are a small price to pay for progress." Pearl said nothing. She looked at the lantern flame. It flickered, then steadied. "However," Holloway continued, "I am not a man who ignores injuries. You are clearly unwell. You are clearly compromised,
and you are clearly acting outside the scope of your arrangements. He spat the word arrangements like it was a curse. I am ordering you to go home, to sleep, to recover. Sir, Pearl started. No arguments, Holloway snapped. The warmth vanished from his voice, replaced by steel. You are not a sworn officer, Miss Casey. You do not have the authority to pursue suspects, to discharge weapons, to interfere with police business. What Sergeant Doyle allowed was a mistake, a momentary lapse in judgment. I will not repeat it. He reached into his pocket and pulled out a slip of paper. He placed it on the desk, next to the lantern. Go home, Miss Casey, before I decide that your compromise makes you a liability to this precinct. And if you speak to anyone about tonight, anyone at all, I will have you arrested for obstruction. Do you understand? Pearl looked at the paper. It was a bus token. A cheap brass thing, a way to send her away. Yes, sir, she said. Holloway turned and walked to the door. He paused with his hand on the knob. Oh, and Miss Casey, leave the key, and the blueprints, they belong to the city now, not to you. He opened the door and stepped out into the night. Pearl waited 10 seconds. Then she stood up, wincing as pain shot up her leg. She picked up the bus token. She looked at Doyle's desk. The key was still there, gleaming dully in the lamplight. The blueprints were in her possession, hidden against her ribs. She took a breath. She left the key. But she kept the tube. Pearl limped out of the station house, stepping over the threshold into the cold night air. The streets were empty. The gas lamps cast pools of orange light on the wet cobblestones. She walked slowly, favoring her right leg, moving away from the station, away from Holloway's threat, away from the safety she had just rejected. She needed to get back to the apartment. She needed to hide the blueprints. And she needed to figure out why Holloway knew about the man in the gray coat before Doyle did. Because Holloway hadn't asked if there was a man in a gray coat. He had assumed it. Pearl touched the canvas tube again. It was solid, real, the enemy was real, and she was alone. She turned the corner onto Grand Street, the chill of the gray morning settling deep into her bones as she dropped the bus token into the gutter, listening to it rattle against the cobblestones before vanishing into the shadows.